existentialism takes up this phenomenological emphasis on the ego, but it omits the phenomenological emphasis on the universal and underlines the importance of the individual. It's an analysis of the individual and the experience of the individual as the individual. The freedom of the individual, these are the important things which phenomenology of existentialism efforts. Pragmatism finds one criterion of the truth, a rational proposition is true and is rational if it produces the effect which is intended to be produced. Successful result of a proposition when applied is the mark of truth. A true proposition is a proposition which must succeed. If it is true, it must succeed. It must be useful, practicable, it must result in consequences which are intended. And rational proposition is a proposition which is pragmatically successful. Honesty is good because it pays. Religious belief, as William James, one of the greatest pragmatists, said, religious consciousness creates healthy-mindedness, and healthy-mindedness is very good. Therefore, whether God exists or not, it does not matter. If belief in God gives you health in your mind, you allow and nurture belief in God pragmatically. You can never decide whether there is God corresponding to religious consciousness or not. But you can know this much, that belief in God produces healthy-mindedness, therefore you may say that proposition must be true, because it's successful, creates healthy-mindedness. Or even if that proposition is not true, for practical purposes you should take it to be true. Now postmodernism combines all these movements of logical empiricism, of phenomenology and existentialism, and pragmatism. He adopts the proposition of language and the emphasis on language from logical empiricism. He takes the proposition of individual and the freedom of the individual from phenomenology and existentialism. He adopts the criterion of pragmatism and comes to the following conclusion. In fact, this is a subject on which I wanted to hear Devashish today, and therefore when I will speak of it, I only speak like a small child, because I am not such a so scholarly in respect of postmodernism, but whatever I understood, I can only tell you this, that postmodernism maintains that rationality consists in asserting that whatever is knowledge, whatever is true, should be expressible in language. There should be a text. All knowledge is something that can be derived in text, from text. Secondly, every individual, when he encounters a text, he encounters it as a free individual, and therefore he understands the text in which is specially individualized himself. Therefore his understanding of the text is something individual. And thirdly, insofar as he finds that what he understands is successful, it is true. The net result of this postmodernism is that there is no knowledge, affirmation of any knowledge which is not textual, not reducible to text. Secondly, that all textual knowledge can be interpreted, and this is the whole development of what is called hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the science of interpretation. Everyone is free as an individual to interpret the consequence is that there is no possibility of making any statement valid for all. There is no possibility of stating that any knowledge is certain. But every piece of knowledge is good for himself according to what he understands. But he should allow others also to believe that whatever is understood by him or by her is true for him and for her. Reason according to postmodernism cannot go beyond this. It cannot know what is ultimate reality, cannot know if there is any ultimate purpose in life or in aim. No utopia can be formed. The world is what it is, and every individual is free to understand this world through text in which knowledge, rational knowledge, is translatable. Now, on this basis, therefore, you cannot erect any moral ideal, no rational ideal. And you can find, actually speaking, that all the four movements which are today basically are incapable of giving any rational mental ideal or moral ideal. And if we are therefore to remain only there, it can go round and round. Uncertainty, relativism, agnosticism, skepticism of various kinds, and freedom for every individual to do what he thinks is right. This is all that can be proposed. Therefore, there is no presence in the present scenario of any ideal which can lift man. And what Sri Aurobindo says, therefore, becomes so meaningful. And I would like to repeat again, say, if there is no high and strenuous mental and moral ideal controlling and uplifting the vital and physical man in us, and no spiritual eye liberating him from himself into his inner being. And this is exactly what has happened, and that is all around us. Then, the only consequence will be economic life, perfection of material life, huge structure of the buildings of his structure, and the resurgence of barbarism in human civilized society. This is inevitable. This is the impasse, and this is where we stand today. And fortunately, however, I would like to end my statement by stating the following, what Sri Aurobindo said in the ideal of human unity. And there is a similar statement in the human cycle. And I shall only refer to these two statements and conclude for this present. Because these two propositions give us what in Sri Aurobindo's own term, that humanity will not be arrested. And something else will happen. And that possibility is dependent upon the following. And I read on page number 555 of the volume number 15, where Sri Aurobindo says, but the higher hope of humanity lies in the growing number of men who will realize this truth and seek to develop it in themselves, so that when the mind of man is ready to escape from its mechanical band, perhaps when it finds that its mechanical solutions are all temporary and disappointing, the truth of the spirit may step in and lead humanity to the path of its highest possible happiness and perfection. And what is that higher truth which humanity can hope to realize? And that is what Sri Aurobindo states just on a paragraph above it. And he says that truth is the truth of oneness. And I read it, a spiritual oneness which would create a psychological oneness not dependent upon any intellectual or outward uniformity, and compel a oneness of life not bound up with its mechanical means of unification, but ready always to enrich its center, its secure unity, by a free inner variation and a freely varied outer self-expression. This will be the basis for a higher type of human existence. And to connect it with the question of Aurobindo, I would say, this is what is proposed for Aurobindo. So I conclude here, but if there are any comments, I'll be happy to hear a few comments in the remaining time. Thank you.